Hello and welcome to the Gambling Files podcast. Slight difference this episode. It is quite a short episode. First one this week. We should be doing two, but we wanted to put this one out there. It's something that we did last week, where we attended the Gaming in Holland conference, and we kind of did a live podcast on stage where we interviewed Netherlands operator. A chap by the name of Frank Castellines, lovely fella. And it's a short episode, but I wanted to record an intro so that I could tell you about our wonderful and benevolent sponsors, Clarion Gaming. Hello, Clarion. And Optimove, CRM software specialists. Hello, Optimove. As for Clarion, go to IGB. It's in July. And of course, ICE in Barcelona in 2025. And for Optimove, you know, well, if you're not using their CRM software, then you're already behind the competition. I'm just saying, get in touch, order a demo, you'll be glad you did. Meet myself and Fintan on stage with Frank in Amsterdam.
With this, we've come to the final session of today. And to lighten things up a bit, at the end, Fintan, Costello and John Bruford we've brought in, and they have a Gambling Files podcast, which we highly recommend. Originally, we had intended to bring former State Secretary of Justice and spiritual father of the Dutch online gambling legislation, Fred Teven, here, but unfortunately, Fred was unable to be here. Fortunately, Frank Castellines graciously agreed to fill in for Fred at the last minute. I think you all know Frank. He's the one that asked the questions before. But if not, I'm sure for the podcast, you will hear his opinion further. Fintan, John and Frank, please make it to the stage and welcome to the podcast. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll be like. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. They didn't want to have me in the middle of it.
Welcome to the Gambling Files podcast, the podcast that wishes it had brought some olive oil and a spatula, because this seat is a little tight. I'm one of your hosts, John Bruford, joined by my able co-host, Fintan Costello.
Hello.
Fintan, hello. But we're joined, not disappointingly at all, by Mr. Frank Castellines. You're standing in for Fred. Are you going to be impersonating Fred, or are you going to be Frank today?
I'm going to be Frank, but everybody expected to have Fred, so it must be a big disappointment, no?
I don't know. No. Can we have a show of hands? You put your hands up if you did. No, I'm just kidding. Totally fucking with you. Frank, Fintan and I, we were discussing questions that we were going to ask you earlier. Okay. And there's been there's a lot of changes happening in the country, and after years and years and years of agonizing about what they're going to do, there's lots of things happening very, very fast. And it doesn't seem like many of them are positive things. So my question to you is there anything at all to look forward to, or should we all start investing in Swiss euthanasia clinics?
Or crypto casinos?
Nah, I think I will be taxi driver like Fred Davis, because all this new taxation will put us out of business. Because apparently nobody believes it. But it's really, really, really sad. If I do that in my company, so if something is not going well, yeah, you change. And then you make a change, and then you see what the reaction on the change is. But what we, and I'm for a long time in gaming, yeah, land-based gaming, and in all these years we have been, by self-regulation, managed to get addictions figures down, implementing good rules and that sort of things. And the opening of the online market starts, and before we know the results of the advertising ban, we get rule over rule. We get new rules from the KSA this week, still in consultation rules from the Ministry of Justice. And then you think that we have to do more. So we get a little bit help from the tax authorities. They also increase the tax by 25%. So my question is, where do we end?
Well, when you put it like that, it does seem reasonable.
It's not reasonable.
No, sorry, a little bit of English sarcasm there. It feels like everything is just being rushed through at an incredibly fast pace without a lot of, and I'm sure the people that are doing this are very competent politicians, but without a lot of thought, without conversation with stakeholders, without, I don't know, best way to phrase this, Fintan, but without any connection with reality.
Well, it's when you think about it, it took so long to pass the legislation. There was so much discussion, there was so many delays, there was so much, consensus building to get the legislation passed. But since it's been passed, making decisions to like pull it back, make things worse, advertising restrictions, untargeted advertising, the tax rate raise, these things are happening super quick. What happened to that like Dutch polder model consensus building? Let's take our time. Let's make sure we're making good decisions. What's going on?
It's crazy. It's just a waste of time and money to take 12 years to come to a legislation and to take almost 3 years to break it all down again.
Yeah.
So I don't get the whole rationale behind it. And of course, I'm also for player protection. You know, you have to protect the players. But if you see that we lost all our friends in The Hague, and it seems that... imagine you're a politician. Yeah, it's also difficult in the landscape we are to say, I'm before gaming or gambling.
For sure.
So no politician burns his hands on that. So we don't have any friends left, and that's I think the majority of the problem.
Yeah, because and I think you're in a pretty unique position as well because you've got your land-based venues, you've got an online product, so you're kind of seeing it from both perspectives.
Yeah.
And it would seem, particularly with a physical land-based business, you know, it's high-end, it looks good, it's top quality.
Yeah.
I can't remember the gentleman,
I asked a few pictures.
Oh, have you got pictures?
Yeah, I have two pictures.
Here we go, hang on.
Maybe you can show them.
I think we can do that.
So what we did, this is our casino in Leusden. And this is the one in Nuland. So we built, over the last 12 years, I built a few high-end casinos in hotels where we have a lot of visitors from abroad, people who come in the hotel, where the casino is a extension of the hotel. I liked very much the story of Joris Dekker of Steve Wynn. I'm not Steve Wynn. I'm not as brown as that. My casino is not as big as that. But in fact, there is an entertainment part in it. There's a recreational part in it. And with the concept is as this, and again, we have 20 cents per play, and we have an hourly loss of 40 euros. Mm-hmm. So our income is fixed. Yeah? So if we want to raise income, we need more players. Yeah? That's the only way it's possible. We're just recovering from a loss of 20% of the players who went to online.
Yeah.
So if you see the figures of H2 Capital, it's not coming back, unfortunately. So I can share with this group, we make 2.5% net margin at the moment after 3 years of loss with COVID. So if you, on GGR, raise the tax rate with 7.3%, 7.3 minus 2.5, it's almost 5% in minus. So that's the story. Yeah. So instead of winning a little bit, we will lose a lot of money.
Which then has an impact on, obviously, your investment, but employee jobs, payroll taxes.
So what you hear in the company is that people, and you start to lose good people because people say, okay, where is my future?
Yeah.
So is this business going to stand? Yeah, and of course we serve a big recreational group, with a limited play. So I don't know where the end is. So and that's a big problem.
It was one of the things that the, I can't remember the chap's name, the H2 Gaming Capital, and he talked about it only takes a small number of players to go offshore to completely change the numbers, but it also sounds like it only takes a small legislation change to completely destroy your business.
Yeah. So if you look to, for example, products like alcohol or cigarettes, it's hard to buy them in the illegal market.
Yeah.
It's getting easier with 12 euros per packet, but in online gambling, the competition is one click away. So the higher you make the burden for people to play to enter on your website, the easier they go in the illegal offering.
And to build on that, it's not just that it's a click away. It's never been easier to, like, we could literally launch a Bitcoin casino tonight. Like, it's that easy. project.
Yeah.
Easy. But it's, you know, the there's talk, regular, we'll clamp down on the offshore products and stuff, but you physically can't.
Yeah.
It's impossible. So where does that, like, what happens next?
I don't know. It's like a big black hole. So if you see of course, we have to prevent players from addiction, but now the politicians are playing like they play a nervous football game, on every incident they react. Now with an hourly loss, so it is the next step that if you want to drink beer, you need an app on your phone, and then the bartender can see how much you drink.
As an Irishman, that doesn't bode well.
So, but to be honest, we are also for player prevention.
Sure.
Yeah? But if you make the legalized business so difficult and so much distance from the illegal market, so we have, for example, we do bonusing. Yeah?
Yep.
The illegal market do also bonusing. But we are taxed on bonusing. You know that? We are taxed on bonusing. So say I have a supermarket and I have a new brand of cookies and I give away cookies as a sample. Yeah? Does that supermarket pay VAT on those cookies they give away? No, it's a cost for them. For us, it's being taxed. So effectively, our tax rate is already 39%.
Got it.
And that's how on one hand, there's expected that we do a better job in responsible gaming. I agree totally with that. But then the tax authority should give you a little help with all these extra costs to implement.
39% does seem low.
If I put my tinfoil hat on, so you've obviously got the Dutch government who own Holland Casino and Toto.
Yeah.
And obviously, it was mentioned on the previous panel, it's either a tax or a dividend, it doesn't really matter. It all comes back to the government. Is it kind of like just death by a million cuts, and then you're just left with the two state operators, and that's it? That's the Dutch market?
We don't tell that. Huh? So first we say, okay, it's open market. We have to operate with state parties also in that market.
Yeah.
Where the NLO, National Lottery Company, has a casino, and the casino company, Holland Casino, gets sports betting, but okay. So then you're operating with those parties in the market. If the tax increase won't hurt them, you know, because they have alternative income from the lottery and the casino. Of course, they also complain, luckily, but in the end, if nobody can hold it, the state companies won't go bankrupt. So
exactly.
Finally, you get a monopoly back.
But you get it in it's an open market, but it's a quasi-monopoly type scenario, potentially. Allegedly.
If you look in your tin.
So Bert was saying a couple of sessions ago, Bert was saying about, you know, there's a 200 million budget deficit or whatever. And obviously we've heard some pessimism, some good reasons for pessimism today. But I don't mean to put you on the spot. I do. I totally mean to put you on the spot. What should be happening? What should we be doing? How do you fix it?
First, explain that the 200 million plus will be 500 million minus. Because if we get now the new regulation where you have the 700 euro player limit, so that will after the implementation, my guess is that at least 25% GGR will go down. So that's what the government also miss in tax. Yeah, and then if the tax rate goes to 37.8%. Then a lot of companies will go out of business. So that's the first thing. And then we have to seek for alternative funding. It's a bit crazy, yeah? So we didn't think of it, but we get the problem. So I think that the government should realize that they open the door for illegal operators more than ever.
Which, when we look at Germany and Sweden, so kind of near neighbors, the massive offshore, because the challenge always for the industry is, oh, the offshore market, it's really scary, and if you do these things, people are going to go offshore. And in the UK, it's debatable, it's probably not really a situation there too much, but when you look at Germany or Sweden, it's a massive issue. It's such a big thing. Because the products are so uncompetitive and unappealing. And it's, like we said earlier on, it's never been easier to launch a Bitcoin casino.
If you talk about responsible gaming, how responsible is it to first launch an online market, and then close it to open the door for the illegal operators?
Yep.
That's for... That can also be seen as not very responsible.
That's a good point.
It's probably worth pointing out as well that crypto-jackpots.com is available.
Is it? It's already gone. Somebody's registered it.
I should have picked my time. Damn it. It does kind of sound like it's an entirely hopeless situation.
It is.
But it... I don't know. I don't quite know how to put this, but I mean... Is the government just not listening? Is this not a conversation? This is a set of this is just dictated.
Yeah, I am 100% clear on that. The government is not listening. With the land-based branch organization, we did a report with KPMG, and that's one of the big five. You know, they did a broad research in the industry. How are you doing? Yeah. So and there we show already that the land-based business is not making any profit anymore. Mm-hmm. And they got a report last month, and they come with something like this, and that's totally ridiculous, of course.
And then I suppose it's only going to get worse then when you've got to turn around and ask customers for source of funds and proof of wealth and... Like, show us your bank statements and prove you can afford this, right?
Yeah, the I was joking earlier because if how much do you earn? Come on, I'm a gaming operator. You easily can tell how much you earn.
Google me. it's a good question. Yeah, no, I'm not telling you.
Why not tell me? You want to play on my website? You have to tell me.
There might be a tax authority in the room.
Okay, but tell me then your wealth. How many million you have in the bank? Tell me.
Enough.
Come on.
Enough. No.
But you have to tell all the gaming operators.
I know.
Because what you do if when your 700 is full and you don't want to tell me, where do you go? To the next operator?
Exactly.
And for me as an operator, to put it on a serious note, that's a big problem. Because now you play with us and you spend like 3,000 euros. Or 5,000 euros, you're in the picture. Yeah? Mm-hmm. But I don't see you anymore. I see you until 700 euros, and then you're gone. So for me to have an insight from responsible gaming on you is really difficult.
Yeah.
But that as a policy, I mean, I haven't yet seen any nuance in that. It's just, you know, deposit limits, etc. But one of the key markers of harm in responsible gambling is not withdrawing. So it's not necessarily about what somebody's depositing, it's what they're playing.
I would say, look at how much somebody wins. That's a good indicator, because if somebody wins a lot, he took a lot of risk, no? Mm. But you don't see that in any regulation. So we look now in how much money a player loses, yeah? 700 euros. There are restaurants in Amsterdam, yeah? They have a bottle of wine of 1,200 euros on the wine list. And if you order that, but you have to show your state of income.
You should have seen how much chicken wings John had last night. It was aggressive.
I did have a lot.
So that we find a framework of responsible gaming is totally okay. I'm totally fine with that. Yeah, and we look at the delta. We looked at the step care model. I'm for a long time in the gaming business. We always looked at the step care model. Yeah, we look at the change. Are you coming different times? Are you staying longer? Are you making more deposits? But now we are starting to look at 700 euros. In Germany, 1,000 euros. What's the difference? Why 700? Why 1,000?
Sure. Yeah. Well, I think they're obviously dissing the Dutch people there, saying you're obviously not, you haven't got the money that they've got in Germany.
Probably. But is the next step we do this also in alcohol or in smoking or in eating or in...
Yeah, have you got to prove how fat you are to buy online sweets? I don't know. I hope not.
I hope not. It could be awkward.
If you're a bit heavy, you're not allowed in a restaurant anymore.
Luckily, that's not yet the case. So we're coming to the end of our time, unfortunately.
Do we have questions from the audience?
Yeah, do we have any questions about hair care? My fellow panelists would be, they'd love to answer that, but I can't.
We can do one question for the podcast. If there's somebody in the room, please raise your hand.
Brave enough.
If not, I would like to thank the participants of the podcast. Please stay seated for a moment for this excellent participation and closing of the day. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Stay seated. Stay seated. And I guess with this, we've come to the end of a full day of highly informative sessions, like the last one. Before I let you go, I would like to thank our sponsors, strategic partners, our speakers, the Gaming in Holland team, and our friends for supporting us. We could, as I said before, not have done this without you. Thank you for your support.